Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knock-O-Nation podcast show. Oh, Knock-O-Nation podcast show.
Hey, oh, it's another episode of the Knock-O-Nation podcast show. That's my co-host over there, the one and only Bill Cosby. Oh, I'm sorry. That's JT Holt. And my other co-host, the human thumb himself, Josh Brown with a beard. Hi. Josh.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi. How are y'all doing?
I'm good. Are you Zooming right now? Zooming with the mansplain people?
I'm not. And like I told you before, it was Corey Lester. He invited me. Okay. I got a DM. When you get a DM from Corey Lester, you accept it. Okay. And he invited me to a very prestigious Zoom call. I didn't know who's going to be on there. And then I get on there, and then Michael Kelly's on there.
He just happened to be on there, huh?
Calling in from a freaking cabin, like a homestead cabin. And who else is on there? Freddie Stubble. I saw him. He has an amazing beard. I saw Cam from the Average Pod, the Chatting Average. Mm-hmm. I saw Cam and Alex. They were both on there.
So you just don't invite your friends? Like, we're just left out in the cold.
They invited me. They invited me. This was not my party, okay? Uh-huh. I just show up. And what's funny is, like, Katie Whiskey showed up, too.
Was she pretty much drunk already?
No. But Cam and Alex. So a lot of times people that operate anonymously on Twitter are, let's just say, lacking in the looks category. You know what I mean? But Alex and Cam are very handsome men, I gotta say. As well as Tyler Knight. Tyler Knight
pops
up.
Wait, time out.
What?
This isn't mansplain. We don't care.
Oh, sorry.
This is Knock It Home, wrong show.
But Tyler Knight looks like what's that guy? Brandon Beachy. Yeah. And the Freddie Stubble guy, like, dude, his beard, seriously, like, it's the best beard I've ever seen in my life.
So, this, I feel like, JT, right now, I feel like the guy that got into the club telling us what we missed in the club.
Yeah.
When he did, when like, you were waiting in line right there with him, and like, he gets in, and instead of, he could just say, hey, VIP guys, let these guys come with me. Instead, he just goes in and leaves us standing in line, and then comes back and he's like, darn, guys.
Oh, man, you missed it.
It was so awesome. Do you know what you missed? The Rock was inside, and like
Freddie Stubble,
these movie
and Vin
star.
Diesel.
And oh my God, there were so many hot women.
And Cam was there. Just like, he was doing cocaine off of Alex's butt.
Right.
It was weird, like, man. It was weird and it was cool.
But to be 100% honest with you, Josh, I wouldn't have showed up.
I am so used to not getting invited.
I know you wouldn't have. I know.
Well, here's the thing. When like, if you're like me and you're...
I have no friends, so if you invited me to something friendly, I wouldn't be there.
Well, if you're like me and your entire persona is built around that, you know I don't care. I'm not going to get invited because people are like, oh, he wouldn't show up anyway. Like, yeah, I wouldn't. And so I don't. It's okay.
I'm always afraid. Also, like somebody invites me to a Zoom call or something like that. I'm afraid I'm going to like join at the wrong time. And, like, they're going to have walked away from their camera and be, like, half-naked or something inappropriate's going to be going on. Or maybe there's just two people in the Zoom call and I'm there by myself and it's, like, awkward. You know, like, it just – that's the way it feels. And I'm, like, I'd rather just play it safe and be isolated.
Braves Emily was on there. Braves Emily is an alcoholic. She
– oh, JT. Yeah. Sounds like
– she was, like – she was drinking some – they're basically all alcoholics, but especially Braves Emily.
Look, okay, this is how much we do like each other. We do not give a shit about offending each other. This is how I go. I go, oh, like you. Like, oh, man.
Like, well, Jake, that's real friends. I probably wouldn't have said that anything, but like right before we started this episode, I watched you crack your third beer, and I'm like, I might as well make the joke while I can.
Third type
was
of
it
beer.
Your second? Was there? Oh, that's what I thought. Okay, right.
I'm out of craft.
There you go.
So.
That's why I appreciate you guys.
But I only really drink during podcasts. The rest of the week, I really am not drinking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I promise. It just helps me podcast. If I have better content, if I get a little lubricated. You know, that way I'm not yawning into the damn microphone like Joshua Brown down here.
I'm sorry,
yeah,
man.
Josh yawns usually like when I'm in the middle of saying something, so it sounds like he thinks what I'm saying is the most boring thing that he's ever heard.
That's
and
not true.
It probably is the most boring thing he's ever heard is the reason that he's doing it to begin
That's
with.
That's not
just
true.
For 100% true. I was so grateful when JT came along because then instead of 30%, 50%, 75% of the episode, Josh yawning at something I said, JT fills in the gap with something actually funny and Josh stays awake.
And I was thankful when JT came along because finally somebody that would listen to you when you speak.
Yeah, because you don't.
And I was just thankful to come.
That's what she said. Listen, this is the... this week, did you guys watch any of The Last Dance?
I've seen,
yeah,
I've
but
seen
I haven't
episode
finished...
five. I haven't finished six yet, though.
Same. Five and
oh,
a half.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
Believe it or not, like my wife's actually really enjoyed watching this.
Because it's
so
good. So, like anybody, you don't
it's
have to be
really
a bas-
good.
You don't have to be a basketball
Nikki
fan to enjoy
too.
It.
Yeah, Nikki loves it. We're not speaking right now, but she loves it. Like she
it's
had
like
a good time.
Tiger King, but more interesting.
Way better than Tiger King.
Yeah. So let's talk about it some. I don't know how much came from each episode, so if I start talking about something you're not familiar with, you'll just have to like say I don't know.
But you're not gonna spoil it for me. I know what happens in Michael Jordan's career, so.
Right, I got you. But first and foremost, king of this week's episode is Perm security guy playing quarters with Michael.
I haven't seen this part yet. That must be in six.
Oh my god,
it's
the best.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
So Michael. Michael is a degenerate gambler, 100% right. Degenerate gambler. He
and
tries
he
to play
owns
it off.
It. He kind of
he tries
yeah.
to kind of play it off as just being like hyper competitive.
Yeah, well, that's part
and
of
I
it.
Get
yeah,
it.
He's super competitive.
Yeah. So he puts money on everything right. so that everything matters. So him and his security guys would sit there before game time or after game time when they're sitting there waiting in his little security room, and they would flip quarters, see who could get closest to the wall. And Michael would give them like three chances to his one for $20 bills.
And see, that's the thing. That's nothing to Michael Jordan. This is like us
no, right.
betting a nickel. You know? Like,
right, exactly.
So who cares?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, that's.
You know what's funny about those scenes? So, you know, they're in there. They're, you know, it's pregame, I guess, and they're just shooting the shit, you know, and they're you know, they're razzing each other. They're
yeah, yeah.
You know, what's funny is there's no cell phones.
None,
right?
They didn't
so
exist.
If,
yeah.
if that, if the, I guarantee you that same situation now, they're all in their. If you're waiting in a security room pre whatever, you're sitting there on your phone. You're just on your phone. You know,
probably,
people
yeah.
used to like talk and stuff, and hang
yeah.
out.
I was actually talking about this with my wife this week. Is how much actually last night? How much I kind of think our kids are missing out on. Learning from their mom and dad, because like when I was growing up, everything my parents were listening to on the radio, Christian music, not Christian music, Christian preaching, you know, even non-Christian stuff, just like, you know, life stuff, like you listen to it as a family. So if the Braves game was on the radio, everybody listened to the Braves game on the radio. You know, now everybody's got their own device, everybody's got their own headset, everybody's got their own earbuds. If I'm listening to a podcast, it's like in my ears. You know what I'm saying? If I'm listening to a book, audiobook, it's in my ears and everybody else isn't having to be subjected to it. And like, I think I kind of, because I gleaned a lot as a kid and learned a lot from one, the things my parents were exposed to and I was exposed to through my parents. But secondly, like the conversations my parents were having because it was in like a group setting that my kids don't get now because they're like, they just got their own headphones on or I got my own. And it's, yeah, same kind of thing you were saying, Josh, just like on a more personal level. It's kind of
yeah.
weird.
Yeah. But like back in the day, like when you're waiting on stuff, when you know, you're at a ball game and it's before the game and you're sitting or you're in between innings or you're on a train, you're on a bus or you're sitting on a park bench. Like you're there. You might have something, maybe you're reading something, or maybe you're talking to somebody, you're looking around. Now you're always on your phone.
Yeah,
no one
always.
Is ever present. I've been present since like 2009.
Yeah. At least not in this podcast.
JT,
I mean, you literally
bringing
were not
the truth bomb.
You literally were not present for part of this podcast. like you literally were not there.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like talking about not being present, like people interacting with each other. Was there anything cooler than watching Michael Jordan interact with the other big names in the NBA at like the All-Star game?
Oh, it's so good.
And so like yeah. him shooting yeah, the breeze yeah. with Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, I was like in my chair, I was like, this is amazing. Like he's just
give me like chatting 20 hours with Magic behind the scenes footage like, of those guys cussing right. and talking junk
yes,
at each other. You know,
amazing.
Like it's
and
so good.
Seeing the
cow, how cool is that?
Yeah. And have you got the Dream Team part yet, JT?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, that was in episode 5, yeah.
Yeah, so the same thing. They're talking shit. They're hanging out. They're, you know, they're razzing each other.
Oh, to have been a fly on the wall in that practice.
Oh my god,
to have been at that practice.
And that bus ride afterwards, dude. Oh my god.
Yes.
But you seeing that, you totally realize that, you know, again, it's kind of like we talk about with baseball, right? It's not all about the numbers. It's these guys meshed and got along, which is totally why they didn't invite Isaiah Thomas on the damn team. Nobody liked his ass.
Nobody liked yeah. him, so we don't want you here.
You yeah. know what I mean? I saw yeah. like Stephen A. Smith tweet earlier this week. He was kind of poo-pooing on that. He was like, you know, Isaiah Smith totally should have been on that team, and you know, and it's a shame that he wasn't. You know, well, when you watch that and you realize the dynamic and the chemistry they had, like JT right. was saying, you know, like I totally understand why he wasn't invited.
From a
on the
statistical
team.
Standpoint, yes, he has a yes, he should have been on the Dream Team. Statistically, yes, probably the second, at the very least, third best point guard of all time. Like if you put Magic
Michael
Johnson,
even said that.
If you put Magic Johnson
Michael
as a point
says
guard,
that in the episode,
then yeah, then
yeah.
he's number two behind Magic Johnson. You yeah. could make an argument. I could see John Stockton if you want to, whatever. That's up to you. But yeah, so statistically, does he have an argument? Of course. Like yeah, he definitely probably should have been on the Dream Team. But from an intangible standpoint, the things we argue about that matter in baseball, that you know we get fed up with Keith Laws of the world that pretend this doesn't exist. And from an attitude standpoint, from a shooting the breeze standpoint, from guys hanging out in the locker room, which is what they're doing most of the time because they're only playing basketball for 48 minutes.
And they're playing cards after the
right,
games.
That kind of stuff matters, yeah. yeah. And
totally matters.
I'll even
matters
go so far
lot.
As to say this. I think he would have been fine with all that. I think at that time, teams hated each other, and that was okay.
Big difference.
And you
yeah.
just didn't like some players yeah. because you hated them on the court.
Yep. Yeah,
Charles Barkley right. talked about hating Michael
the Pistons,
at the
yeah.
time
because yeah.
he could because they were the team to beat, you yep. know. And now Charles fully respects Michael, but it was still like
they're not friends
you know,
anymore. They don't talk anymore. He was on 680 The Fan last week. He was on I think Chiellini and Domino had him on, and he was pretty upfront with the fact that they haven't talked for several years. And
yeah.
part of it was because he was critical of Michael running the front office of it was the Bobcats and the Hornets now. I can't
Charlotte, remember. Yeah. yeah.
But Michael's not very good at being a GM.
Well, he's been on the GM for 14 years, and they've had losing seasons 11 of
and
those.
And drafted
seasons,
Kwame Brown, yeah. number one overall.
Yeah.
Kwame,
I always forget. Even though I live here, and they're the local Fox team. On my feet, I always forget that they're here and that he's yeah. the guy.
All right, yeah,
that's how
I think most
are.
People forget they're there. But like Michael, okay, so lots of things in these episodes to dig into. What do we think about like Michael covering up the Reebok jersey?
That
Reebok
was the best thing
on
ever.
The
gold, that was
gold
amazing.
Medal team jersey.
That was
because they were gonna make him wear the Reebok USA jersey, and he's like, "Well, I'm gonna cover it up in a way that they won't ever be able to uncover it." And of course, the thing he does is he lays the American flag over it, and it completely covers
it's
up.
It's brilliant.
Because what's Reebok going to say? Like, Michael covered up the Reebok logo with the American flag?
Exactly.
You're not going to
yeah.
say
yeah.
that. Like,
terrible guy.
Yeah.
And there is no, I don't know if younger people will get how big of a deal Michael Jordan, like, I know they understand it because they still sell Jordans today, which is kind of crazy, mm-hmm. considering that it's 2020 and they're still selling Jordans. But how big of a deal and how symbiotic, I guess, Nike and Jordan were. And, and Jordan and Gatorade. Or even, I still remember those McDonald's commercials with Magic and Bird and MJ. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, he got that and he saw branding.
Do you remember the Michael and Matt and Bird horse game McDonald's commercial?
Yes, I do.
It's like over the basket, through the hoop, off the court, you know, like, and they're playing these crazy horse games and they're like finally outside the arena and like throwing the ball in. And you know, it's not real, but like you're kind of wondering, like, you know, I bet they could actually do that. You know, part of you is
the
a kid.
Mars Blackman, is it the shoes? No, Mars. Like those commercials were huge. Be Like Mike, that jingle. I remember drinking the glass bottles of Gatorade back when they'd served in glass bottles was a huge thing when we were kids. Like, you drink Gatorade at the gas station, and the only reason you bought Gatorade was because Michael Jordan drank it. That was it.
Because it tasted terrible.
Like, was it? Yeah. That was your only thought. Was like, I want to be like Mike. And you drink the glass bottle of Gatorade because he.
You know that you can't even buy Gatorade now at most gas stations? You have to buy Powerade.
Stations do you have in Livonia? We've got Gatorade too.
Okay,
I'd rather have
Gatorade,
Powerade.
But most of it's Powerade because Powerade tastes better. It does. It's like 100 times better than Gatorade.
I enjoy Gatorade. I'm not proud of that because where it came from, but you know, it is what it is. I thought at the time I didn't know where Gatorade came from. I just knew that Michael Jordan drank it.
Did you know that?
Where
the University of Georgia does
not
sell Gatorade at all?
That's why it's Gatorade.
Right.
It was invented at UF.
I didn't know that.
Yep. Do you know the University of Georgia does not stock Gatorade in any of their vending machines? They will stock
Powerade,
but they do not stock Gatorade.
And they will serve Powerade.
That's right. That's correct. And it
was funny. I like
it. It was made clear. It was a big thing on campus that you would never find Gatorade for sale anywhere.
It's all Powerade.
Yep.
Wow.
So back to the quarters thing. Okay, so he's playing quarters against his security staff, right? Mm-hmm. Dude with the blonde perm, who, rest in peace, apparently died back in January of this year. Dude wins the quarters game. Little squirrely security guard guy, and he turns around and he does the Michael shrug at him, like Michael does in the game. It's the best moment of the whole episode. It's so good, so good.
That was cool. Yeah.
Oh, I was loving it. I was loving it.
What I like about Jordan too is I don't know, man. To me, he never, because I've read stuff that people think he's this way, but for a guy with that level of like superstardom, he seems to be as much of a pretty normal kind of guy as you can get. Obviously, he probably had a huge ego and all that stuff, right? But I don't know. He was never like a dick. He was pretty good with the media for the most part. I think he was probably hard on some teammates at worst, but I think we read some stuff that was probably sensationalized a little bit. But I think he was pretty, for the most part, like pretty
normal.
Good guy.
It's funny how we get different takes, because I think the exact opposite.
Really?
Yeah. I think he was a total dick. I think he was super.
I don't see it.
Super
Maybe
rich.
It's because I'm kind of a dick.
And I don't think anyone in the normal world like knows anything about what it's like to be like Mike. Like,
I think that Michael Jordan is the most accidental superstar of all time. I think the guy could have cared absolutely less about being a superstar. He cared about winning basketball games.
Winning basketball
and
games.
I think so too.
He did not get into this to be. Case in point, you ever see Michael Jordan dress? There is a Tumblr account called What Are You Wearing, Michael? Something like that. Or What Is Michael Wearing? He's the goofiest dressing man of all. This is today. Like, he wears JNCOs today. Like, he doesn't care about how he looks at all. Like, he's the least fashionable dude ever. He's enjoyed playing golf since he was, like, 24. Which, golf is fun, but when you're, like, young, golf isn't, like, a cool thing. You know, once you get a little older, golf is more fun, but, like, not too many young African-American athletes are into golf at like 24 years old.
Yeah, he's like hardcore into
He likes cigars and he likes to drink scotch and he's just super competitive and really loves basketball. And that became a thing. Like, he just kind of felt he has a great name, Michael Jordan. It just flows off the tongue. He's not an attractive guy. Like, he's an average looking fella. You know what I mean?
Oh, he's a pretty good looking dude.
But he
I
never.
Think he's hot.
No, I mean, yeah, but he never tried. You know what I mean? He never went out of his way to do anything that a superstar would do. All he cared about was winning NBA championships. That was it.
Yeah, I think JT. I see JT. I'm with JT on this. And with that, because he's that way, so because all he really cared about was basketball, because he's that way, he also never had this, like, I got to have a platform. An activist platform, a political platform.
He didn't
give a shit.
No, I agree with that.
And I now, just love that part about him.
But
and
here's okay. So here's the problem, though. He's not a superstar, right? That's what you just told me. But you saw the attitude about covering up the Reebok logo. That's totally a superstar
because he's
thing.
Protecting his butt.
Oh, he's definitely petty. He's definitely petty.
Oh, super petty, super competitive. But he's also also smart enough to protect his interest. And Nike pays me. Nike
I'm not
my
saying
check.
This is
I'll
a bad
sure
thing.
Happy.
Right. I'm not saying this is a bad thing. I'm saying I think he's a very crafted, ahead of his time, controlled brand. Because I think up until the book by
that,
Sam
I don't
Smith.
Think he's a dick, though.
I think he's totally a dick. I think if you look at the way he treated Jerry Krause. Krause did not deserve half of what Michael gave to him. I mean, come on.
I don't know. Did you see Krause's comments about this organization? Yeah, organization is what makes it.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, but that's
dude,
the way they
I
cut
know,
this
dude.
Whole thing.
I know.
Think
it's
that
a
he
soundbite.
Was,
I get it. It's a soundbite.
I think that he was
that
light. I think he was actually light on Krause. I think he could have gone harder at it.
So here's the thing. And Krause, I read in Krause's memoir today. It hadn't been published yet, but they put out like an excerpt from it. Where he's talking about Michael, and he says, I think Michael and I were both amazing at what we do. And I think Krause is 100% right.
But
I think, Michael Jordan says that. Michael Jordan said he was the best that he's ever been at the game. I think Krause was. Name me an NBA executive who's ever been better.
Travis Schlink, GM for the Atlanta Hawks.
Right. Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, Jerry Krause is the best NBA executive of all time based off the rings, right?
I don't know.
Red
Auerbach.
Put the Celtics guys in.
Why is it – why is – okay, know. Every player that Krause looked at getting, Michael made it his job to humiliate them.
Because he saw that as his replacement. Because that's why he saw Tony Kukoc,
but that wasn't even.
And said,
but that wasn't even what he was
Scottie
trying to
got
do.
Tony Kukoc, we're going to take care of him.
But the Bulls did get Kukoc 2 years later,
right,
and it
right,
helped him win
right,
another ring.
Right, but Ken, if
right,
Ken,
like I mean,
but if you're Aaron Rodgers right now in Green Bay, and they just drafted Jordan Love, are you not sitting there going, are you? A part of you is going to hold it against not any fault of Jordan Love, but a part of you is going to hold it against him because. Hey, I'm not ready to be replaced.
So we should have a conversation about it or something. I just, like, I'm not even defending Krause. I think Krause was a dick, too. I'm just saying, like, I think Michael was totally a dick. I think they were both.
Oh, Michael's
I think
definitely
they're both,
a dick.
Yeah. I mean, like, he went into it. He went into that series against the Portland Trailblazers, and he told Magic the night before that he was going to make Clyde Drexler look like a joke.
That was
and
awesome.
Then he goes off, and Michael Jordan, who never shoots threes like in his entire
six
career,
in the first half.
Shoots like six in the first half, and I think it was like 10
and 35 points at halftime.
Amazing.
That was the
strut
game.
That was
just to humiliate Clyde Drexler, and I love it. Don't get me wrong, I love it. I 100% love it, but it also totally makes Michael
but
a dick.
You,
like,
you know,
he's 100% a
but
dick.
But you know what Chicago has? If Michael Jordan's not a dick, do you know what Chicago has? They have Clyde Drexler.
Two rings.
They have Clyde Drexler. Part of what makes Michael great is that raging desire to just suffocate any sort of competition.
Let me be real clear. I'm not criticizing this about him. I'm just simply saying it's there. Like, that's part of what makes him amazing. Is also part of what makes him, like, not cool, you know, all at the same time.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just a giant fanboy, and I'm like, it makes him totally cool. But
yeah.
What do you think about, like...
Unless you were on the other side of it.
It's the same thing we have with Acuna, though. When people go, why didn't he run out to first base and run hard? Why does he pimp home runs? That attitude that he has is what makes him so good. If you take that out of the equation, you don't have the same ball player.
Sure.
Same thing with Jordan.
What do you think about
I think you're 100%
Krause,
right. You know.
What do you think about one of the weird things to me was like how Krause was so adamant on and he would say it like in front of everybody. Like, yeah, this is Phil Jackson's last year.
Right. Yeah.
I thought that was weird. Like, who does
that? That is weird. That's 100% weird. I'm not here to defend Jerry Krause as being like
perfect. Honestly, if I'm the GM of a basketball team, and my head coach is on his fifth championship, how long do you want to stay here, buddy?
Like, I get what Krause did.
It's on you.
Yeah, I get what Krause did and the rings. I mean, it's kind of like one of those things where, like, you know, the rings and all that stuff kind of speak for itself. It's almost like you can't talk shit too much because Krause, he is the fucking man.
It's like people being mad at John Schuerholz.
Sure.
I mean, like, you
exactly.
know,
yeah.
Schuerholz could have done things better, but he also won 14 straight division championships, you know, like.
But part of me is like, but the fact that he got rid of Phil Jackson, then it almost makes me want to just nullify his entire work.
Well, here's the thing. What Krause is thinking is,
what a weirdo.
If he replaces, the guy who won the president was Tim Floyd, who he replaced him with. That he wins a championship with Tim Floyd. Now who's the genius?
That's some other. I also think. So let's also. Okay. I'm playing a little devil's advocate here because I don't know what I actually think here, but you say you're in the league, you've had 6 years to get used to the triangle offense, right?
Mm-hmm.
People started catching up. Like, the triangle was winning, don't get me wrong, but the gap was getting closer, mm-hmm. like, much closer. You know, teams were figuring out how to put this thing together.
Older.
I think Jerry's sitting there saying, what's next? How do we take this and continue winning? Because, one, contracts are going to get bigger, you know, for one thing. And let's not pretend like Phil Jackson's made out of this thing looking like a genius and – as innocent as a lamb the way Phil always does. But let's not forget that at the time, Phil was the highest paid coach in all the NBA by a wide margin, you know, like not even remotely close. Right. And so you're talking about like, and look, the Bulls had money. I'm not saying that, but you do have to work within the NBA confines of luxury tax and all that kind of stuff. In Krause's defense, I mean, like Krause constantly is making moves. He's adding Steve Kerr. He's bringing in Bill Paxton. He's adding Horace Grant. He's drafting Scottie Pippen along the way. He's going and finding Tony Kukoc, who will eventually be like a huge piece. If he doesn't do that, Michael
Rodman.
Doesn't. I don't know. Yeah, Rodman.
Big, yeah.
If he doesn't do that, how many rings does Michael win by himself with a crappy team? And maybe one, maybe two, you know? But like. If that, he might not win that.
Well,
I mean, look at Clyde Drexler and some of those people.
What if they didn't force Phil Jackson out?
Charles Barkley.
Michael Jordan was the All-Star MVP in 1998. If they don't force Phil Jackson out, does Michael Jordan play another year, another two? Maybe they win five straight because Phil Jackson went on to the Lakers and had a whole another three-peat later on with the Lakers. So, and you could say, oh, but Phil Jackson always had All-Star push. Well, yeah. So did Red Auerbach. I mean, yeah, you win in the NBA with great players.
Like
I mean, That's how you win, is having really good players. I mean, duh. But I just wonder if he hadn't come forward and said, like, oh, this is definitely Phil's last year. Like, who says that about a coach who's won five championships? Can you imagine Robert Kraft saying that about Bill Belichick? You know, like that seems crazy.
I will say this, though. Well, I mean, Belichick also just got rid of all his superstars. So, I mean, in this conversation,
they wanted Brady back.
Belichick's probably a lot closer to Krause than Kraft. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you really get down to it. But, so I think, look, I'm not absolving Jerry Krause of being self-centered and wanting the attention and the glory. I think he very much was. But I do think he's right. I think he's right that he and Michael Jordan were both similar in the sense of they both thought and acted like they were the best at what they did in their game. And they did it even if they were rivalry against each other at times.
I think there's like, one difference, too. But I agree with you. I will agree with that. But Krause wasn't likable.
True. He was this, yeah, I mean, he was a little fat, rotund,
dislikable guy. Michael, you know, while he could be a dick, was pretty likable.
Michael
was likable because he
reminds me a lot.
Michael put up 50 points a night. You couldn't
Well, not just that. Off the court, dude was likable and like charismatic, and you wanted to kind of be like him when you were around him.
The guy Michael reminds me a lot of is Michael reminds me a lot of Dale Earnhardt. Dale Earnhardt could put you in the wall, and then after the race, he put his arm around you, and you hated him. But once he started talking to you, you're like, man, dang it, I like Dale. He might have spun me out there in the last lap, but I can't be mad at him. You know, he's such a nice guy. He's so likable.
That's a very good comparison.
On the court and on the track, competitive as hell. You didn't find a more competitive driver in NASCAR than Dale Earnhardt. Off the court, everybody loved him. Everybody loved him.
Like, in this documentary, they're not going to say it, but that book by Sam Smith, whatever his name is, that the Michael Jordan rules or whatever, there's some truth in it that teammates didn't like Jordan. And not just bad teammates. Like they'll talk nice about him now because what do you gain from saying bad things about Michael Jordan in his documentary about Michael Jordan? You know what I'm saying? Like you can only lose saying those things now. But I guarantee you Scottie Pippen didn't always like Michael Jordan.
Oh, no. I can't imagine if you had a coworker like Michael Jordan, I can't imagine you'd like him either. But the thing is, I mean, and it's bound to happen, when you have a GM and a coach and a player, there's egos involved in each of those positions. You don't get to be the GM of a pro franchise without having some sort of ego. You don't get to be the player Michael Jordan is without ego. And you don't get to be the coach Phil Jackson is without an ego. And all those things are going to bump heads at some point. I mean, you don't get to be that good at your profession without thinking very highly of yourself. You have to have that kind of self-confidence to do so.
And Phil Jackson's a weirdo.
Total
like,
weirdo.
He's a great basketball coach, but he's weirdo.
But he's
not kind of
weirdo.
You know,
he
like,
seems like a cool kind of weirdo, though.
Oh, I'm sure, but he's still a weirdo. Oh, yeah. And so I can imagine he's not – in some aspects, I can imagine Phil's totally a pain in the butt to work with. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think he's super laid back, but almost to a fault at times. So I could imagine that being a problem, especially for a front office type guy that wants you to be like, you know, more
I
rigid.
Smoke some peyote with Phil Jackson.
I bet you do. I can see that. I bet he wants to smoke it with you too. Like that's just the way Phil is. But okay. So anyway, I guess I'd take up a little bit for Jerry because he did put those teams together. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, I think he does deserve some of the credit.
I think you can say, okay, dude definitely deserves some credit, but also not bringing back Phil Jackson was a petty bitch move.
I agree. Yeah, okay. I think that's true. Yeah. Also, I think it kind of sucks that all this came out after he died.
Yeah.
And he has no ability to defend himself in this story. So it's basically the Michael Jordan version of the story for the most part.
In what way are you going to defend telling a coach who's won 5 championships, this is your last year?
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's something along the lines of Phil came to us and demanded $6 million.
You give that man $6 million.
Yeah, but
he's
you
won
don't
5 freaking championships.
Okay, so you do. Then how do you
think
keep
it,
Jordan and everybody else?
If you're a fan of the team, and your coach has won, if Brian Snitker wins 5 World Series, and then Alex Anthopoulos is like, "Well, this is his last year. We're getting rid of that guy." What? Yeah. You know what I mean? That's crazy.
Joe Torre's done it.
Joe Torre's a good example, but it was pretty understood that Steinbrenner was the bad guy in that whole thing. wouldn't joke.
It would be
Torrey's
like
out.
If the Braves didn't bring back Markakis this year.
I agree.
Oh, shut up, Josh. So the other part of this, and JT, I don't know if you've gotten to this part yet, but the reveal that Michael Jordan had a golfing buddy who was a golfing hustler that went by the name of Slim, that Michael Jordan owed once gave $57,000 to as a gambling debt payment. I don't know whether to think that's the most awesome thing about Michael Jordan that I've ever heard, or like the most degenerate thing about Michael Jordan that I've ever heard.
Again, 50 is relative, because what's 57 grand to Michael Jordan?
Oh, I know. It's
half
like,
a paycheck. It's not.
Michael Jordan's basically Pierce Brosnan.
That's like me owing $300
in the Thomas Crown Affair. You know, he's like, he wrecked the boat just to see a splash. Yeah, you know, like
we hear 57 grand and our jaws drop. Michael Jordan's like, oh, 57 grand? Yeah, okay, that's a quarter of my Nike endorsement check.
Here. I made that in the first 5 minutes of the game last
night.
Right,
yeah, that's not an issue. I mean, we live in a world where a guy named Garrett Cole makes like 300 grand a start or something. So it doesn't, and that may not be right. He makes $30 million a year, so makes like $1 million a start.
Higher than that.
So, yeah. It's a lot higher. Yeah, right. So, and who's Garrett Cole could be sitting on my couch right here, and I wouldn't know who he was.
I think he makes $30,000 a pitch was what they estimated at. I think it was something like that.
Yeah, and I'll be waiting for that Garrett Cole docuseries to come out sometime. Yeah, $57,000 for Michael Jordan, that's nothing. We freak out about it, but
yeah,
we live in a different world than he does.
That being said, it was like only one check stuff. You don't know how much other money was passed. Josh, if you have to yawn, use the mute button. Love you.
Sorry.
Jeez. Louise.
Josh is the Jerry Krause of this podcast.
All we
do is put
up like
pure gold.
He's like a little fat rotund fella.
He doesn't want anything to do with us. He thinks it's all the organization that makes this thing successful.
I need to draft some talent up in here. I got an idea. I got my eye on a couple guys.
Oh, good.
Kim and Alex, especially Alex.
And by guys, he means girls. That's
Alex
really
has
what he
a
means.
Great voice.
Okay. Fair enough. What about Michael Jordan having a vanity license plate that said Two Tray? How do we? I thought that was awesome.
Said,
did you see
two
that?
Tray?
Two Tray.
So it's
two
three piece.
Yeah.
Like it.
No. 23. Two Tray.
Oh, okay. I could get that. Yeah.
I don't get it.
You can see this too.
I don't get it. Two Tray.
I just thought about this. Michael Jordan's number is 23, and he had 2 3-peats.
Yeah. Huh. Nice.
Illuminati.
Wow.
Can we take a moment and talk about the fact that it's so easy to forget that Charles Barkley, at his prime, was not a fat dude?
He was
fat.
It was kind of
weird, yeah.
Not during his prime. Like, when he was MVP... He was not fat.
I heard an interview with him one time, and he said that when he got drafted to the Sixers, Moses Malone was in his older years with the Sixers, and he called him up. He lived in the penthouse, and he called him up and said, "I got to talk to you." He said, "You got to stop eating pizzas all the time." And he said, "If you're going to be, this ain't college anymore, you're going to be a pro." And Charles said, "Oh, I'm going to eat pizzas all the time. I was, you know, terrible. Terrible for my body. I'm tired of being a fat ass all the time." And so Moses was like, "Dude, you've got to start eating right." Because he would order like Pizza Hut every night. Like, because that's just what he did in college, you know? He didn't know any better. And now he's got more money, so he just ordered Pizza Hut even more often than he did in college. And it's crazy because Charles is not a superhuman sized dude. Like, he's not a big guy. Like,
he's not Shaq.
No,
right.
Yeah, he's not. And he's not like this, like, otherworldly athletic dude, you know?
Will say this. Charles, I do think Charles, in a weird way, was a prototype for LeBron. And what I mean by that is the way he played the game was a lot of what you would see LeBron do with his size and ability. Now, LeBron's a much more freakish athletic build. But I think the way Charles played the game is very similar to the way LeBron plays the game.
Right.
He would charge the lane. He would take you one-on-one. He would use his size even though, like I said, when his MVP year wasn't gigantic, he would post up on you and he could move you around with his athleticism. You know, I think his game is very similar to LeBron's, which is weird to think of, but it may actually be the best comp I can think of short of Magic.
When Charles was, if you look at Charles and you look at Dennis Rodman, and I told you both of these guys are two of the best rebounders in NBA history, you're like, what? Because they're like, one's shorter
they're not
and
seven
chubby,
foot.
And the
yeah,
other
not
is
seven
like,
foot,
like,
right.
Like, Rodman's like 6'9", but he's long and lanky and, you know, lean. Yeah. And, you know, Charles is not. Charles is 6'4". Like, he's a 6'4" power forward, which is unheard of. Like, he, you know.
Yeah.
And it's funny because Charles, for all the attributes Michael has that are unlikable, Charles has twice as many that make him so likable. Like, Charles Barkley might be the most likable dude in the NBA ever of all time. Like, he's
maybe in sports, like American sports.
Yeah. Like, yeah. He's just the funny. And he's probably just as big of a gambler. Loves to play golf, you know, loves to gamble.
Did you guys ever read that? Read the article? And there's a video, too. There's an article about Charles going to that Asian guy's funeral.
Yes.
It was a fantastic
article.
It was like the coolest story ever.
And his
man.
Dad was like, made him in a bar, and they met a couple times over the years after that. And Charles just buddied with him and everything.
The guy's daughter wrote it. She wrote the story. And the story goes, so her dad was a doctor, right? Wasn't he a doctor? Mm-hmm. I think.
No, I don't even think he was a doctor. I think he was just an Asian guy,
and he had an Asian guy.
I mean, just an Asian guy.
He meets Charles Barkley on a plane, and then they ended up going to the same hotel or something. They just become buddies, and this guy goes home and tells his daughter, and for years he would kind of tell his daughter that him and Charles Barkley are buddies, and they would mm-hmm. text and hang out, and whenever this guy was on a trip, he would. Let Barkley know if it's the same city, they'd always meet up. And the daughter would kind of roll her eyes. You're like, okay, crazy guy, you know? And then there was one point where dude was in some city where they were filming like the Inside the NBA show, and Barkley invites him on set. And so there's a picture of him on the set, and he sends it to his daughter.
Yeah.
And she like finally believes. She's like, holy shit, you really do know him? He's like, yeah, he's my friend.
Yeah.
And they become buddies. Well, dude dies, and Barkley, you know, I guess learns about it, goes to dude's funeral in middle of nowhere. I think it might have been Alabama, which is also where Barkley's from or something. But goes to his funeral and just speaks and stuff. It's the coolest story.
Well, to take it on, like on top of that, like he goes to Charles's, a funeral of Charles's, didn't he, or something like that as well? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Charles Barkley hasn't had a funeral yet.
Yeah,
he's alive.
But yeah, it's a really cool story. I'm like speed reading through it right now.
Dude, it'll make you cry, man.
No. He did. In June 2015, Barkley's mother passed away. When my dad heard the news, he looked up the funeral details and hopped on a plane to Leeds, Alabama. It ain't easy to get to those places, Barkley said. I'm from a very small town, and my dad showed up for his friend. Afterwards, he went to dinner with Barkley and his family. For your dad to take time to come to the funeral meant a great deal to me, Barkley said. And then in 2016, my dad was diagnosed with cancer. He had tumors in his heart, et cetera, et cetera. And you can read the rest, you know. But it's really cool. And one of the cool things is Barkley had him come in to TNT.
That's what it was.
For the finals and hang out with him and Shaq and just watch games one day. And, yeah, I mean, it was
And he was just really a regular guy. Like, he was not a celebrity or, a famous person. He was just a dude who met Charles Barkley on an airplane.
Yeah, and then Charles goes to his funeral and actually gives a eulogy while he's there. It's crazy cool.
I'll tell you, from spending 5 minutes with Charles Barkley, coolest guy in the world. I walked away going, what an amazing dude. Like, I walked away going, how cool was that? He was so awesome. He was so cool, so funny. And just like, you just got this feeling from talking to him in the brief couple minutes I had next to him. Coolest guy ever. The night before I met him, my friends had went to dinner at the hotel where he's at, and he sat next to them. And it was my friend's, their son's birthday. He turned 7. And so, I mean, Charles came over and sang happy birthday and helped him blow out the candles and all this. Like, totally, like, he didn't do any of that stuff, you know? Like, but that's just how he was. And they came back to the B&B we were staying at and were like, their eyes were this big. And they were like, Charles Barkley is the coolest person ever. Like, that was so awesome. Yeah. You know, like, he came over and put his arm around their son and sang happy birthday with them. And what a cool guy. Like, it was so fun.
Josh, the dude you were talking about was a cat litter scientist.
Okay.
And
okay.
He like, innovated the industry. Yeah. He innovated the cat litter industry. But, yeah, I mean, it was – yeah, it's in that article. It's really
cool. What a weird industry to dedicate your life to.
I thought Charles – yeah, I thought Charles had one of the best quotes of this weekend's episodes, and that was when they went to Chicago, and Chicago people living there had boarded up the windows so that they didn't get destroyed during the party because they thought the Bulls were going to close it out that night, and they had signs up 3-peat or and all this stuff, and after the game, Charles and them had won. And they said, Charles, do you have anything to say to the people of Chicago here? And he's like, they can take all that shit down out the windows. And I was like, that's the greatest quote of all time. Like, I was loving it.
I miss that kind of stuff about sports. I miss people saying stuff like that. I miss that kind of – everybody wants to be friends now. And I get like a lot of guys share the same agent.
I know.
And the same workout
facilities
in the off season. And I get that you're friends, but, like, can you pretend to not be friends for a few minutes so the people at home can really get into it more, you know? Like,
right.
And you could tell from this documentary that there wasn't any pretending with this bunch. They didn't like each other. Like, if you were in the finals against the Knicks, the Bulls and the Knicks didn't like each other, and the Knicks definitely didn't like the Bulls.
And where did that go? When did that go away? I can't tell you the last time this happened in sports.
It's the same reason you can't hit someone with a pitch anymore.
Even the Yankees and Red Sox like get along now. It's weird.
Everybody's
nice.
It sucks bad.
It's
so
stupid.
It's like it's the exact same reason that we're blocked by Talking Chop for making fun of their baseball takes. You know, like you can't just have a rivalry and like it be an on-court rivalry about baseball. No, everyone has to make it personal. Or an on-court rivalry about whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's all this hyper-personalized. Like, for Michael and them, there was this correct amount of personalization. Like, they took it personal that Isaiah and them walked off. You know what I'm saying? And he didn't like Isaiah, but he did respect him. And that's the thing I think that we've lost is the ability to respect someone and dislike them at the same time. Like,
yep.
I'm glad that I do this podcast with you, Josh, because there's a lot of times I don't like you and I still respect you.
Well, if you talk to any NBA guy from that era, they'll talk about the team saying he hated those guys. You'll hear that come up in interviews so often, whether it's Michael or
Barkley. Yeah, football's the same
whatever way.
Definitely.
Yeah. Oh, we hated back in I think in baseball and football, whenever you get back into talking to teams in the 80s and maybe early 90s, we hated those guys.
Oh, right. I loved it. I read an article this week, JT, about Doc Ellis going into spring training and making the decision that he told his right fielder, he said, I'm not going to make it out of the first inning because I'm going to hit every batter that comes up. They're playing the Reds. And the Reds had Pete Rose and they had Johnny Bench, and they had like all these big name guys, and sure enough, Doc gets up there. He hits the first 3 batters. They walk. Pete Rose. When he hit Pete Rose, Pete just reached down and grabs the ball and flips it to him. And Doc is quoted as saying he thought that was the most badass move that he ever saw because he said, "What kind of swag do you have to have to just flip the ball back to me?"
Pete Rose understood how the game of baseball was played. He was, you know,
right. And so then on batter 4, they caught on that he was hitting him, and they started dodging him. So he walked that guy on 4 pitches. The next guy, he tried to hit him, and he dodged too. So, like, the second the ball started, they were just jumping out of the box.
And now, if you throw close to a guy, you're getting a warning right away.
And then then finally his coach pulled him out of the game about that point. And
I love that it took his coach to get him out of the
and
game.
They
right?
never cleared right. the benches. No one ever fought. It was just like Doc made the decision because he said Doc had told him in the clubhouse, he said, y'all are just scared of the Reds. Like they had lost the Reds. His Pirates team had lost the Reds in the postseason the year before. And the Reds just kept winning that, winning and winning and winning. And he said, we're scared. We're just as good a team. Y'all are just scared of them. And so he said, I'm going to prove to you that there's nothing to be scared of. I'm going to hit every one of these blankety blank, blank, blankety blank, blanks. You know? And they said, amazing. What was funny was like Doc and Pete were actually really good friends, but Doc didn't care. He's like, I'm going to hit all of them. I'm going to hit every last one of them.
Do you think it's now because we're seeing the fruits of years and years of free agency? That it used to be the same guys were there with the same crew, and so it was the same group mm-hmm. of dudes. And now it's like players, you know, change teams so much that you can't really hate these guys because they weren't the same guys from last year. There's seven new players.
And even with the Bulls, the superstars were the same on every team.
Yeah.
Like the component pieces might change out a little bit here and there. But you knew it was going to be Michael and Scotty. You know, you knew that Isaiah was going to be with the Pistons. Mm-hmm. You knew that the Knicks were going to have – oh, my God. My mind just
went blank. Ewing.
What's his – Patrick Ewing. I wanted to say Karl Malone. I knew that wasn't right. You knew that the Jazz were going to have Malone and Stockton. You know, like, there was – like, and they weren't going anywhere. Like, they unless they were getting really old – they weren't going
anywhere,
to get
yeah.
traded around,
same guys,
you know,
yeah.
and now like LeBron might be for the Heat this year. He might be for the Cavs next year. And then he's going to be for LA, you know? And so like the main superstars moving around.
Well,
and that's just,
I saw an interesting quote. Chauncey Billups said the difference between Michael and LeBron is that when Michael played, nobody else got rings. During LeBron's era, everybody ate and everybody got rings.
True.
But think of the True. Hall of Fame players that Michael played with during his prime that never got a championship. Karl Malone, John Stockton, Reggie Miller, Patrick Ewing, Alonzo Mourning. I mean, you could name a lot of guys that are Hall of Fame, top 50 all-time guys. Gary Payton, Sean Kemp.
Yeah.
That never got rings. Charles Barkley, you know, that never got rings because Michael Jordan existed, you know, and that's kind of the difference. Like,
right.
Who's LeBron ever stopped from winning a championship? You know, like during LeBron's
year. Yeah, exactly.
You know, but that was the thing. He literally just hated everyone else. And I've told Kevin McAlpin this, like, the last team I remember hating, like just hating, was those early 90s Phillies because
yeah.
the Braves had a
yeah.
bunch of clean-cut guys. Like, for the most part, we weren't the Yankees where you couldn't have facial hair, but for the most part, yeah, pretty clean-cut dudes. And then you had those
yeah.
90s Phillies teams.
The
mullets,
dirty Phillies.
Chew, spit, nasty. John Kruk, Pete Incaviglia, Lenny Dykstra, Darren Dalton. You name it, man. The whole team
the
just looked like a bunch of freaking like swashbuckling
losers.
Pirates. You know, just gross,
yeah.
grody-looking yeah. dudes. And I remember being a kid just being like, that's the anti-Braves. I hate them.
Yeah.
You know, I remember that was the first team where I was like, I hate these guys because they looked like bad guys. You know, they looked like the opposite of my heroes. They looked like the opposite. And I don't know. It's not just because I've grown up, but because it just doesn't exist anymore. It doesn't exist to where like, yes, I don't want the Mets to win because I'm a Braves fan. But I don't hate the Mets. I don't hate Jeff McNeil. I don't hate Pete Alonso. Like, I don't, like, you don't have you don't have that kind of hatred for guys anymore, you know?
You also, like, Kendrick Perkins tweeted this last night. I guess he was watching the show, too, and he said, MJ's heart don't pump blood like a normal person. That, and for all of our podcast listeners, I'll say it, that MNF-er got hot sauce running through his veins. He's a damn savage on and off the court. And I think that's some of what you're talking about, JT, is like that savagery is not there anymore. Like, not off the court for sure. Maybe a little bit on, but even
yeah.
that is toned way down. You
a
know?
Good reminder of this is like I was saying last week when Mark Hagas came out and was like, they need their asses kicked. You know,
yeah, right. How
he
refreshing
said
was that to hear?
he said that, and everybody else was like, oh my God, he just dunked from the know, they just lost their minds when, like, if he said that 20 years ago.
Yeah, it's normal baseball talk.
Just, yeah, whatever. Just normal guy.
Right. Well, because back then you existed to kick your rival's asses. That was right. Part of it. Like, mm-hmm. that was part of the deal. And now
there also wasn't a ton of parity in sports. I think that does play a role.
Yeah.
In that,
what do you mean?
Once a team became dominant, two teams would collide a lot.
Yeah.
So like the Pirates and the Reds would meet every year, you know, at the end of the season, the postseason.
Yeah.
It was the Bulls and the Knicks, you know, for a season of time, and then it was the Bulls and the Pistons. I mean, Bulls and the Pistons, and then later it was the Bulls and the Knicks, you know. And
it was the same guys against the same guys.
Right. Right. And I think that does play a role. And now you've got a little more parity. It's not that there's a lot more there, but in sports like baseball, if you're not ending up with repeat series a lot, for one, and I think this plays a big role in it, the more you expand the playoff, the less likely that the exact same two teams are going to meet, especially in sports like baseball. In basketball, it's still pretty much the same teams are going to rise to the top, so you get a little more of it. But like the Spurs, you know, year after year.
I watched a great.
Also, the Spurs were like the anti-Bulls. They were like the nicest people ever.
Clean cut.
You know, like,
who can hate Tim Duncan?
David Robinson. Yeah, he was. Wasn't he like a Christian and stuff?
Oh yeah, oh totally. Like he served in the Navy. Like he's the admiral. Like he's as clean cut as you get. And Tim Duncan is about the most uninteresting dude ever. I mean, he's just a really good player, but, you know, never went out of his way to do anything controversial ever. But that's just kind of, I don't know, I guess that's just kind of the way it is now, you know. I hope we can get to a point where it's fun to have teams that just hate each other. I watched you guys probably don't watch NHL Network, but there was a documentary on there that was really good about the Red Wings and all the clashes they had with the Colorado Avalanche in the 90s. And you wouldn't think that the Colorado Avalanche would be on the same wavelength with the Red Wings, because historically the Red Wings are here and Avalanche are relatively new. But they played together, you know, they met in the conference finals like four straight years in a row. And there were cheap shots and guys hurting other guys on purpose, and laying guys out and guys getting in fights. And it was because they met in the playoffs in big series like 5 years straight. And it was like, I can't remember the guy. It might have been Dino Cicerelli for the Red Wings. Claude Lemieux had laid out one of their dudes, like smashed his face into the boards. It's, I had to shake that guy's hand. That pisses me right off. You know, and they just wanted to. I mean, they were just decking. The goalies got into a fight. I mean,
yeah.
Holy cow. Wow. Like, you know, I miss that kind of thing in sports where you know you're watching two teams that do not like each other.
Yeah.
I watched the other day the YouTube video of, remember when A-Rod and Veritek got into a fight?
Oh, man, that's been a minute.
That seems like another age. And I remember, like, seeing that at the Sports Center and thinking, awesome.
Yeah.
The Red Wing, the Red Sox Pedro and Yankees should fight. Don Zimmer, yes.
Pedro threw Don Zimmer on the ground.
That
you
should
know?
Happen. Yankees, that should happen, like, once a year. This is the Yankees and Red Sox. You're supposed to hate each other. There should be a fight at least once a year, the Yankees and Red Sox. Like, damn it, that has to happen. Like, you're the Yankees and Red Sox. You're not supposed to like each other. Like, you're supposed to, if you're wearing Yankees pinstripes, you should look at the Red Sox and be like, I hate those guys. And that's got to add to your brain.
That was like in the 90s, Braves fans, you hated the Pirates every year.
I never hated the Pirates.
I hated the Pirates. Now, we won, so the hate wasn't as strong from the Atlanta side, but I guarantee you Pittsburgh fans hated Atlanta.
Well, after 92, Pirates were irrelevant. They didn't have a winning season for like 20 years.
Yeah,
but they had that 19 inning game where they basically gave it to the Braves postseason. You know,
the game where who was it that was? Are you talking about the extra inning game where the guy was out by a foot?
Yeah, and they gave it to the Braves anyway because they wanted the game
Jerry
to end.
Mills was the home plate umpire.
Jerry Mills. Yeah, that's
I can't remember who. Julio Lugo. It was Julio, yeah. Braves great Julio Lugo, who was out by a foot, and they called him safe.
Yeah. Yeah, because they were tired and wanted to go home. That's ultimately what that meant. Yeah. Hey, it's been another week on the Knock
Speaking
on the
Nation
podcast
of being tired
show.
And wanting to go home?
Josh is, like, I'm pretty sure he's trying to call on contact a psychiatrist now to help his friends deal with being friends with Josh. And, Josh, we wish you the best of luck in mending
the bridges
you have burned. May they be rebuilt and forged anew with the steel of 1,000 hearts. And may your friends be reborn in the fires of friendship with strength and love for you, Josh.
What is happening?
But, buddy.
I don't really know. I'm
it's like
exhausted.
It's like J.T. Holton has said, liberalism is a disease, and there's nothing you can do about it, buddy. There's nothing you can do about it.
No. Well, bud, I love you guys. Have a good night.
Hey, you guys see my Ovipro poster? It's pretty awesome. I'm a huge fan of that.
Oh, I see that next to the Tennessee football.
Signed by Phil Fulmer, buddy. Yeah.
Hey, what about this?
The pumpkin himself.
This is my favorite bobblehead.
Is that Dooley?
That's Butch Jones.
Butch Jones. I love Butch Jones. Tennessee bobblehead.
Why?
I love Butch Jones. Well, we went to a Tennessee Smokies game one night, and it was Butch Jones bobblehead night.
Nice.
I found an Ovipro poster, and shipping including, it cost me $4.98.
That's what's up, man.
Very impressed with that. Yeah. So I was like,
are you like on the toilet just perusing eBay like I am and just buying weird bullshit? Okay.
Allposters.com. They have like 10 million posters, and I searched Atlanta Braves, and that was on there. And it was on sale for $1.98 plus $3 shipping.
Allposters.com. I remember that's been around for a long time.
It has, yeah.
Yeah, I think I've
like
used
since
it
the internet started.
I decorated my freshman dorm room with Allposters.com.
So. I remember going to Allposters.com. I remember being like in high school and like going to Allposters.com to see like some scantily dressed women.
Well, I didn't use it for masturbatory purposes like you did, Josh, but I definitely used it to decorate my college dorm with like my high school graduation money and that Joker right there for $5. So
allposters.com. It's still going?
Still going strong.
It's incredible.
And how long have they been sitting on these Ovipro posters to get rid of? I have no idea. Like how low can we mark
these
things?
They got a warehouse.
Someone's gonna buy these.
They got a warehouse full of
someone
them somewhere.
Someone buy this Eric O'Flaherty poster for crying out loud. So I did.
Hey, we got to get him on the show.
I think he's got his own podcast. So.
I think he does.
Yeah. I don't think it's any good, but he hosts it with some guy, David something.
I forget. Yeah. I think I just saw him on Facebook.
He just sits around talking about how bad Trump is with his one-eyed cat and his record collection.
Yeah, and his cigar selfies. Yeah,
Josh, I just sent you the shoulder shrug if you want to check it out from the – from the perm fella, or JT. I don't know if you'd seen it, Josh.
Well, I saw it. Yeah, yeah.
After the perm victory, he nailed it. Thanks for listening to Knock Home Nation.
All right.
If you would like to support the show, it's patreon.com/Knock Home Nation. You can get you some cool swag at shop.spreadshirt.com/Knock Home Nation. Or if you are not financially able to support the show at this time and join the nation, we would ask that you at least like, rate, or leave a review of the show. We appreciate you for listening. Thanks for hanging out.
Thanks for following, Luke Jackson.
Luke the Duke. Booger!
Hey, Luke Jackson led the bullpen in F4 last year.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement-level podcast. Knockahoma Nation is brought to you by Knockahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Knockahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit knockahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Auctions Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.